All right, thank you for being here this morning. I don't think I've been here since August 1st on a Sunday. We were on vacation, and Brother Chim is absolutely right. The best part of vacation is when you leave. The second best part of vacation is when you get back, right? How many of you go on vacation, and when you get back, you feel like, I need a vacation from my vacation, right? Yeah. You know, when I get back from vacation, I barely like my family. It's like, man, we've been spending too much time together. Forget it. All the drama. One of our grandkids fell and chipped their tooth at a pool when we were in one of the hotels. But we got a lawyer, so we're good. I'm like, you can't see it. It's only the front tooth. It's not like people look at that thing. But I'm glad that it's over. And I'm glad in our church that all our families take vacations. You ought to take vacations. And you ought to get away from your family, get away with your family. That's what you call a Freudian slip. Yeah, the best vacations you take are by yourself, typically. But we did pass through Vegas. We're just driving through, but it was good. We were able to win enough money to pay for our vacation, so that was good. But you know, I like all that. But I like when we get to the end of the summer and we're done with it. Okay, and it's been great. We've had a great summer. Youth, everything kind of is great, pushing forward. We have youth conference, and everybody goes on vacation. And now we're back, and we're looking forward to a great fall, great school year, and all of those things. And so I guess what I'm trying to say, get that vacation mode out of your system, okay? And let's get back at it. And it starts next weekend, anniversary weekend. And let's be involved with everything that's going on next weekend, Thursday night. Brother Johnson will be with us, and that's going to be exciting. We'll have some food for you afterwards. And then, men, let's all of us be here Friday night, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, where Brother Johnson, and I think you can bring the junior high boys and above. It's only $10. Make sure you get on Simple Give and pay for that. We'll have a really great time. Saturday, let's have a big Saturday, super Saturday of soul winning push. We'll just come out, give you a map, go do a block or two, and we will have breakfast for you. And then next Sunday, our anniversary in our building, a dedication, an ideal world. Those would have been the first Sunday we moved in, but because of the situation in our country and so forth, we weren't able to do that. And so invite everybody, invite anybody that you know who's been here before, invite them to be here for that, and that'll be an exciting, exciting day. Thank you for being faithful and being in church this morning. I want to share a thought I think will help us this morning. How many have ever heard the phrase, sticking your head in the sand, right? I think they say ostriches do that. Ostriches don't do that because they get afraid, okay? That's just a misnomer. When we talk about the phrase sticking your head in the sand, it means that we're unwilling to recognize or understand a problem and to deal with it. That's what really is meant by that. Yeah. Something is going on, and instead of facing it head on, we stick our head in the sand. Certain dates, as we look back at our history, stick in our mind. 9/11, but the first one is December 7th, 1941. Yep. That was the day that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, and they did a lot of damage. They destroyed a big part of our fleet. The interesting thing is that radar was in its infancy, and they actually had a radar station at Pearl Harbor. And the radar men there, they saw the blips coming in on the screen. And they had a hard time believing that it was real. And so they chose to ignore the situation. Now, I'm sure we would have suffered losses, but it could have been a lot better if we had that time to be prepared. Amen. I have found that that's what people do when they face problems. Yep. I think it just seems to be a human condition, right? Things come our way, and instead of facing them head on, we try to act as if they don't exist. We treat them as if they're not there, instead of just facing the problem head on. This part of Genesis is the story of how God protected Jacob and his family during the time of famine that hit the land. And it was going to be played out through Joseph. Of course, Jacob, or Israel, had his issues. He played favorites with his children, which is always a problem. And, of course, when you have four wives and you have the baby wars going on, you're going to have issues like that. And that's exactly what it was. His beloved wife had two children, and the first one was Joseph. And so Joseph was kind of spoiled. Well, that didn't go over very well with his 10 other brothers. And so what they did is they saw Joseph coming one day, and they threw him in a pit. They wanted to kill him, to be real honest with you. One of the brothers protected him and said, hey, you know, let's not do that. While he was stepped out of the situation, they took Joseph and they sold him as a slave, and he ends up in Egypt. I'm not going to go through the whole story of Joseph, but you know how the story, how he went through the problems in prison and Potiphar's house, and God prepared him and made him vice president of Egypt. It was through a dream that he gave Pharaoh that Joseph interpreted and came up with a great plan. There's 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. So during the 7 years of plenty, save some of that food so that during the 7 years of famine, we will have food to get us through. Well, where Jacob and them are living in Canaan, they didn't have that. And so they hear that there's food in Egypt, so he sends his sons down there to buy food. Guess who they're buying the food from? Joseph. They didn't know it was Joseph. Now, Joseph is a great guy. And Joseph didn't want to hurt his brothers. But you know, maybe human nature, he probably thought, let's not make it easy on him. And maybe he was testing them. I think that's what he was doing. And so through a course of events, Joseph accuses them of being spies and all this drama. So eventually what it is, Joseph says, ask them, do you have any more brothers? And they're like, yeah, we have a youngest brother. He didn't come. And so Joseph eventually accuses them of being spies and says, the only way you're going to prove to me you're not spies is go bring your youngest brother back. I want to see him. And so Simeon gets stuck in prison. They take off. They bring the food back. They tell their dad all that's going on. And their dad's not happy. And by the way, the reason Benjamin didn't go is because that was his new favorite. That was the last child from his beloved wife. And losing Joseph crushed him. He thought Joseph was dead. And if he lost his other son, it was going to ruin his life. And so he would not let him out. So they come back. He tells them the story. Everything's kind of put on the back burner. And they just live eating the food. There's nothing done. Simeon is still in prison. They're not even talking about it. And the obvious happens. They run out of food. The brothers come and tell him, food's running out. And Jacob nonchalantly says, okay, go buy some more. Now, wait a minute. There's a big problem here. Something that's not being mentioned. They were accused of being spies. Benjamin has to go back. Jacob fears that. He has to deal with this situation head on, and he doesn't want to do that. They couldn't go back with him, or they faced even more danger. There was a big problem there. And it, regardless of how Jacob wanted to handle it, and he didn't want to have to deal with it, it wasn't going to go away. Right. You know, difficult situations are a part of life. Yeah. Do you understand that? Some people, they don't like conflict, right? How many of you understand, you ever heard that, you know, conflict avoidance, they just don't do good with conflict. Is there anybody like that? And it's not, you're not a bad person if you are. You kind of just like, you don't like avoid confronting people. By the way, I was like that. Now, being a pastor, you have to change really fast, okay? Because you have to deal with stuff all the time. Now it's kind of like normal nature. But we don't like dealing with situations. They're unpleasant. But they're a part of life. It could be a marital situation. You could have a problem in your marriage. There could be something on the back burner, and it's just you're just letting it sit there, and you're letting it simmer, and you're not dealing with it. It could be something with your children. It could be something with your health. It could be some type of situation in life that has arisen. It could be a financial problem. It could be a spiritual problem. And it could be something relational. But for all of the problems, regardless of what they are, there's a right way to face it and there's a wrong way to face it. How are we going to handle it? Well, in this story, we saw that it wasn't handled correctly, because the fact of the matter is it wasn't handled at all. You know, we say ignorance is bliss. If that's true, there's a lot of happy people. Ignorance isn't bliss, okay? Ignorance just causes more pain. So I want us to look at the story and think about situations we face in life, and I want to look at it from two angles. The first angle is the wrong approach. And then secondly, I want to look at the right approach. Let's look at the wrong approach. This is the approach that Jacob initially took. Just like, go buy more food, as if there is no problem. First of all, the wrong approach is ignorance, as I just mentioned. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt. You know what they did? They shelved the problem. They said, let's take this situation and we have food to eat and let's just send it over here. I don't know. Were they hoping the famine was going to go away and they wouldn't have to go back for more food? Did they not remember that his son and their brother was stuck in a prison in Egypt? I'm pretty sure he wasn't ignorant of the situation. They were willingly ignorant of it. If they would have taken their son and they would have went immediately back, maybe they could have got the thing solved a lot earlier. But instead, it's like, we have food. Let's just eat. By the way, sometimes we're ignorant of a problem because the negative results of the problem aren't quite happening yet, right? The bad parts aren't coming. It's simmering and it's starting in the background, and as long as the really bad parts of it aren't coming out, we're okay with letting it go. That's a really bad plan. You got to deal with it and you got to face it head on. You can't just ignore it. We know what the issues are in our life, and yet we choose to just let them go. You see, there has to come a time in your life where you just man up and you face it and you do what you're supposed to do. I read the story a while ago of a man named Alvin Strait. Alvin lived in Iowa. He was in his 70s. He had a brother who was dying. I believe the brother lived in Wisconsin. They had a falling out many years earlier, and he had quit talking to his brother. But he knew his brother was dying, and he knew now was the time to face it. Now, he was older, and he couldn't drive anymore. And he wanted to tackle this thing by himself head on. So you know what he did? He got his riding lawnmower. And he hitched a wagon up to it, and he drove it from Iowa to Wisconsin to get things right with his brother. It took a long time. He had breakdowns. He had all types of problems. But he said, I'm not going to let my brother die without me getting to him, and let's get this thing straight. Ignorance. We can't ignore the situation. Sometimes we have to deal with it. Secondly, the wrong way to handle it is continuance. In other words, we continue our life and act like there are no consequences to what is happening. He said, their father said unto them, go again and buy us a little food. Now, what if they would have taken that plan? And just the nine, Joseph and him and three, so the nine brothers just get more food and show up there like nothing was going on. You know what would have happened? Now, we understand it was Joseph in the background, but they didn't know that. They would have been set up for some more problems. You can't just act like something's not there and just keep going on. There are consequences to not dealing with a problem. You know what happens when you don't deal with a problem? It leads to more problems. Yeah. You see, you know what we want to do with our problems? We want to pull out the spiritual weed whacker, right? We want to sit there and all the weeds that are growing up, and it's funny, you know, you try to grow grass in your front lawn and it struggles to grow, but it always grows in the places where you don't want it to grow. But instead of pulling it out by the roots and cleaning up the dirt, we get the weed whacker and it just grows right back because you didn't get down to the root. See, we want to continue like there's no consequences, but listen, fixing the consequences of the action or trying to get away from the consequences of the action doesn't solve the problem. People come in all the time, I got this problem in my life. Can you help me do something to get this problem out of my life? Let me give you an example. Let's talk about debt. Well, I'm in huge debt. Can you give me a plan to get out of debt? You can get a plan to start working on that debt, but you need to get down to the root of the problem. Quit putting yourself in debt. Quit digging that. You want to dig the ditch and get out from the problem and then get the shovel out and start digging again because you haven't solved the real issue, which is living on credit cards or whatever it is, getting yourself in debt. And so that's what we need to do. We cannot just continue as if everything is all right. Thirdly, underneath the wrong, accusations. Look at verse 6. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? He said, instead of looking at the situation, okay, what can we do to fix it? He said, why did you tell him you had a brother in the first place? If you had only just kept your mouth shut. All Joseph, they didn't know Joseph was, going to get at him. He just asked, do you have any more brothers? They weren't doing anything. But instead of looking at the situation, we want to go back and assign blame. Sometimes, look, blame doesn't help anything. If a situation's there, it's not time for a history lesson. It's time to fix the problem and go forward. But a lot of times we don't want to fix the problem and we comfort ourselves and don't fix the problem and we comfort ourselves by blaming other people. Look, regardless of the situation, why it happened, if it's affecting you, deal with it. And let me just say this. I know there are things in life that come your way because of the actions of others. I get it. But boxing yourself in and blaming everybody else and sticking your head in the sand isn't going to change the situation. By the way, if something's happening to you because of the actions of others, you're the one that's paying the consequence. So why are you going to let it keep going on because someone else did it? But a lot of times, we're just blaming somebody and we don't want to look at our own part in it all. It's like when God came after Adam and Eve sinned, they came to him and said, Eve, what did you do? It's the devil. Yeah, the devil made me do that. Adam, why did you do what you did? He was legit at least. The woman. By the way, he didn't just blame the woman, right? He said the woman. Oh, by the way, that's the one you gave me. That was an arranged marriage, people. So he said, God, that's on you. Satan didn't have anything to say. Okay, he couldn't blame anybody. But isn't that how we are, right? Ask your kids. Hey, did you do this? They'll point to their brother. They'll point to their sister. They learn really early. Blaming doesn't help the situation. The problem started, get over it and move on. Another bad way to handle it is selfishness. And verse 6 again. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me? Now, I kind of have a feeling that Simeon would have disagreed with him. He's in jail. I think he got the short end of the stick. But he's looking at the situation solely from how it's making him feel. How about your family? How about everything else that's going on? That's what we do. We look at a situation and like, well, what about me? By the way, let me just say this. Life is not about you. It's not. We filter everything through, well, what about my needs and what about this? And I'm not saying you don't have needs. I get all that. Don't get me wrong. But the best way to get over all that? Don't just live for yourself. Well, I'm taught you have children. I'm tired of these children. Well, I was just on vacation. I am too, so let's move on. I'm tired of these grandkids. I'm tired of my spouse. I need some me time. Okay, look, you signed up for it. By the way, we have several that got married, George and Darlene, my son, and Crystal and Daniel got married. And then we got another one over here getting married. Listen, you know what you're doing? You're signing off on selfishness. Let me just tell you that right now. You're not marrying them for what they're going to do for you. You're marrying them for what you can do for them. Thank you, Jerry. You're the only one that said amen. Let's try that one more time. It's for what you can do for them. Now, what happens is, as you live that kind of lifestyle, they'll reciprocate because they love you. But we go into these things, well, you know, I want to have children because I always thought it'd be really neat. It's really neat until they wake up at 3 in the morning and they got stuff coming out of both ends. That's not neat. Okay? Or they start having issues or this or that. Listen, we got to get past that. I'm not saying that you'll find joy when you give yourself like that. But you don't find joy when you're selfish. You're selfish. And then I mentioned it already, but history. Look at verse 42. Verse 36. What I mean history, I mentioned already, we bring up past problems. Verse 42, chapter 42, verse 36. Jacob their father said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and will you take away Benjamin? He's basing this whole problem on the fact he already lost Joseph. And now, Joseph is not. He thought Joseph is dead. Simeon is not. I don't know what that means of what he thought about Simeon. He already given up on him? But history. Most people use the past to chain themselves down in the present, in the future. Or we have a, by the way, look, when you deal with a problem, especially if it's a relational problem, once it's over, it's over. Don't bring it up. You have some disagreement, like, oh, you hug it out and everything's good. The next time there's a disagreement, hey, remember when you did that? That doesn't work. You know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is, I'm over it. I'm not going to keep throwing it in your face. By the way, we could all throw stuff in each other's faces. Before you say that to somebody, remember what you did in the past? You might want to look in the mirror and realize, what did you do in the past? Because none of us escape that. But all we do is dredge up the history of the past, and we're not getting a solution for the future. And then lastly, pity. We allow ourselves to feel overwhelmed. Look at verse 42, verse 36 again. Chapter 42, verse 36. All these things are against me. Isn't that why we stopped acting? I read a comic a long time ago, and it was a many, many years. Ziggy? Was that it? And he said, when things get tough, the tough get going. And he answered, but when the tough get going, the going gets tougher. Isn't that how we feel? See, what we do is look, this problem, but, and then once we have one situation we're supposed to deal with and we don't, all the other situations seem so much worse. And it doesn't matter how many situations you have, don't let them stop you from fighting out of it. Sitting still and doing nothing isn't going to help. Why don't you just, it's probably politically incorrect, man up. Just say, I'm not going to let that problem get to me. I'm going to face it head on. Oh, there's 5 problems? Let's go. But we have a soft society, don't we? You want your little spiritual safe space. No such thing. That's called life. Well, somebody said something that I just don't agree with. They're hurting my feelings. Grow up. That's, you know what? Let me just park right here for a minute. I am so sick and tired of you say something someone else doesn't agree with, and all of a sudden you're wrong because they don't agree with it. Quit being sissies. If we disagree, that's okay, but oh, you hurt me because I believe this. Well, to get over it. You shouldn't say anything because I don't believe that. Snap out of it. back to our regularly scheduled message. That was a wrong approach. Not me, what I just said. That was spot on. This is the right approach. How can I deal with it? How can I handle the problems that come my way instead of just like head in the sand? First of all, take action. Action. Face it realistically. Look at verse 11. Eventually, Jacob snaps out of it. By the way, hunger will do that. Oh, can I give you another pet peeve? Step over here. I don't want to be behind the pulpit. Hey, why doesn't anybody want to work anymore? What is going on? I don't even know. It had to relate to the message. We were in like a bunch of states for vacation. Everywhere we went, there was now hiring signs. They're giving you a $200 bonus to work at, I think it was Burger King. I almost applied. Now, when we were on vacation, when we were traveling, we were eating at restaurants. We didn't want to eat junk food because, you know, you feel like, you already feel horrible when you're traveling on vacation. But there was one place, Taco John's. And it was like everywhere. And I thought, okay, I know it's fast food, but I got to try it before we leave. And so the last city it was in Montana before we left, I like, this is my last chance. And they went to get coffee. I said, I know it's like, it's probably like low-grade Taco Bell, but I got to try it. I've seen it everywhere from the time we got into Nevada. And so I found it, the last one in the city, and I went there, and here was what it said. It was closed. It said, this location is closed due to a lack of employees. And I thought, man, that just saved me a stomach ache and whatever else comes with it. Yeah. But we don't want to work. You know why? People don't want to, they want to be taken care of. They want everything just to go away. And I understand sometimes people have issues, and I'm not against, you know, people begging stuff. But when I see them now, I'm like, Doc, while you're begging, I see six signs that say now hiring. Yeah, come on. I mean, Taco Bell's paying $25 an hour, I think. I don't know. I'm kidding. We don't want to take action. I like Jacob, though. He snaps out of it. Verse 11. Their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take the best of the fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down a man, carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. You see what he says? He goes, all right, we're gonna take action now. Here's what we're going to do. And now a plan starts to formulate. By the way, nothing happens if you don't take action. Well, I'm waiting for so-and-so to take action. You can't control others. You take action. Yeah. Well, you know, my spouse just isn't doing this. Then you do it. Come on. That didn't go over very well. You know, this isn't happening. That's my relative over there. They started the problem. Why don't they help with it? I can't control them, but I can control me. Yeah. Take action. Snap out of it. Jacob snaps out and says, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to bring this guy a present the likes of which he's never seen. We're going to schmooze him, okay? He's going to get a gift basket and all that stuff. What do we got to do? Look calmly at the situation and realistically figure out what needs to be done. By the way, I have had people come to me that I had this situation and I did this and it didn't work out. And I'm like, why did you do that? Now, I want to say that was dumb, but I don't say that because I'm a pastor. I think it. I'm like, why didn't you do that? And here's an answer I've heard. I had to do something. Excuse me? You don't have to do the wrong thing. Stop. Get a plan together. Ask someone for help if there's a situation that they can help you with. Yep. And then get to work. Come on. Action. Prudence. Deal with potential roadblocks. Verse 12. And take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Pre-adventure was an oversight. Here's what Joseph did. As Joseph sent them back, the ones that he let go back, with the food, he put their money that they bought the food with, he put it back in their bags. So dad's thinking, okay? He's not just thinking like, wow, that was free money. I'll keep it. He thought, maybe this was a test. Maybe this will be a roadblock to him listening to us, to you when you get back there. So don't just take money for new food, take money for the old food. Maybe he's testing your honesty. prudence. He didn't just say take him a love offering or a basket or whatever. He said, hey, there was a problem here. He gave you the money back and he shouldn't. Take the money back to him. Prudence. Thinking through anything that could potentially hurt what you're trying to accomplish. Okay? By the way, prudence is missing. A lot of our actions in our life, we do them without thinking what could be the potential consequence to that action. We live by our feelings, we live by our emotions, and we just act out and we don't think, hey, what could happen? Prudence is look ahead and see what would happen. Next, responsibility. What is responsibility? Do what you know you're supposed to do. Verse 13, here we go. This was the key to the whole thing. Take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. That was tough for him. He lost Joseph, and there was no way he was going to lose Benjamin. In one of the verses, one of the sons said that his life was bound up in Benjamin since he lost Joseph. Everything in his life. And if he lost Benjamin, his life would come to an end in a sense. Emotionally, it would kill him. But he knew that's what he had to do in order to have any chance to get the situation fixed, and so he fulfilled that responsibility. You want to get out of a situation? Just fulfill your responsibilities. Yep. The reason a lot of our problems get worse when we have a problem is because we allow that problem to keep us from doing what we're supposed to do in other areas of our life, and now it's just compounded. You understand that? Well, I'm having this problem in life. Now it starts to affect your spiritual life. Now it starts to affect your work. Now it starts to affect all of your other relationships. Why? You've allowed it to do that. Hey, just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Follow the steps you know you're supposed to take as you're trying to figure out the steps to fix the situation that's at hand. And I've said it over, and you think I'm joking. It's the truth. Sometimes I can't come to church, Pastor. Why? I'm going through a problem in my life, or I did something, and once I get that cleaned up, I'll come back to church. That is the worst possible thing you can do. Amen. The worst. What we do is we cut ourselves off from other things that are going to help us get through the situation. Got to do what we're supposed to do. By the way, sometimes responsibilities aren't fun, but you know what? That's your life. Do it. I'm sure you're not all excited tomorrow when the alarm goes off and it's time to go to work. Now, most of the time I'm excited until I realize the guys I have to work with and kind of lose my excitement. It's like, look, it's what you're supposed to do. Well, I'd rather collect unemployment. Quit being lazy. By the way, once the government quits printing money like there's nothing behind it, people are going to have to go back to work. Hey, why don't you get the jump on them and you can be their boss? That was free. I don't know. I'm sick of seeing those signs, and I am seriously upset that Taco John's was closed. I was so steamed. Literally, for 4 days, I'm like, I'm going to hit Taco John's. They wouldn't even work. What was the next point? I'm done. Just kidding. Prayer. Look at verse 14. He says, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man that he may send away your other brother Benjamin. Now he's asking for God's help. Did you see that? Now look, I'm a plan type of guy, right? Whenever there's something in church or something that's got to go on, I'm like, all right, first thing, let's put a plan together. Step 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, to do, blah, blah, blah. And you know, sometimes you can plan God right out of the situation. You can have the best plan to get out of your problems, but if you take God out of the equation, that doesn't mean it's going to work. Amen. God might say, keep going. How's that working for you? God wants to be a part of it. Yep. Now, sometimes we take the flip side of it and don't do that. Well, this situation's horrible, and I'm not going to do anything, but I'll just pray and God will work it out. Hogwash. It's not in the Bible, but it should be. Prayer without works is dead, being alone. Look, God's not going to metamorph, you know, just do all this and you didn't do anything. Fulfill your responsibility. That's God's portion to you. Do what you're supposed to do. I'll take care of it. Yeah. But we got to get him in on it, don't we? Don't we put God last? You know, let's do everything. Oh, yeah. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. Amen. That doesn't work. If you've got a situation you're dealing with, put it on your prayer list and pray over it every single day, and then do the things you're supposed to do. And see if God doesn't do something. Prayer. And then lastly, this is a hard one to come to. Acceptance. Verse 14b, the end of the verse. He goes, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Do you see where he came to? You see, the reason Benjamin didn't go in the first place is because he had to hang on to him. I got to protect him. I got to do everything. Now he's out, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to leave it in God's hands. And if God doesn't choose to do things the way I want it to go, I'll accept it. And let me just say this. Sometimes the situations in life, we want them to go the way we want them to go, and sometimes they don't. Yep. And it's not your fault sometimes. You've done everything you're supposed to do. You're still being faithful to God. And for whatever reason, God has chosen to let it continue. Accept it. Yeah. Because God knows what's best for you. Yeah. And you'll understand it on the backside. But that's no excuse for not doing what we're supposed to do. But once we do all of that, we just have to say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'll face it. I want you to work. I'll do whatever I'm supposed to. But however it works out, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. All of us are going to have problems in life. It's the way life works. But where we get to in life will depend on how we handle those situations. Are we just going to ignore them, hoping they go away, and then they cause more damage? No. Let's face it, and let's do the things we're supposed to do. Let's pray together this morning. If we could bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute. You say, Pastor, I'm not facing a problem right now. Do you know you will someday? You know the saying, you are either coming out of a problem, you are either in a problem, or you're going into a problem. It's going to come. And what you need to do is you need to face it head on. Let's not bury our head in the sand. Let's take responsibility for what we're supposed to be doing. And let's ask for God's guidance. Let's ask for God's help and leave the results to Him. But I know this. Not acting is not the answer. And maybe we need to be like Jacob. After all was said and done, and Jacob went through all this, he finally snapped out of it. Let's deal with the situations in our life. Maybe you're here this morning, there's a decision a lot of people put off, and it's trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. By the way, that's not going to go away. And that's something you have to face before you die, or it's too late. There's only one way to heaven, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? Could you give a legitimate scriptural reason for why you would be in heaven? You say, Pastor, that's me. I am not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? Nobody looking. Everybody heads down, bowed and eyes closed. You say, Pastor, that's me. Please pray for me. Anybody like that, just raise your hand right now and I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Okay, I see your hand. Anybody else? Let's stand together. Piano's going to play this morning. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Maybe there's some things you haven't been doing that you should be doing. Maybe there are some things that you've kind of just ignored. Got to face it. You can have friends, you can have church, you can have that encourage you and push you to do the right things. But unless you choose to do those things, there will never be a difference made. You've got to make that decision. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for this morning. Lord, we understand that problems are a way of life. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to take responsibility to do the things that we are supposed to do. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with us. And again, Lord, how many times during a problem do you want to teach us something, but because we don't react correctly, we don't learn the lessons that you have for us. Be with us now, Father, and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.